Welcome to Media Hotshots, a series of interviews with some of the most celebrated editors in lifestyle, fashion, beauty, and interiors media today. All of the editors interviewed in this series subscribe to PR Shots and Press Area, and the majority of those have said that they heavily rely on its service in order to make their jobs easier. Therefore, the opportunity for you and your brands to gain more coverage into their pages is made all the more possible, and this series of interviews is aimed at not only celebrating their lives, but to help provide you with some golden nuggets that, if used, could make you a complete hero. I want to welcome everyone to the fifth in a series of interviews that we're holding with celebrated editors within the lifestyle, fashion, beauty, and interiors media. Katie Wright, who's the fashion and beauty editor for the Press Association. And what we're going to be discussing during this interview really is kind of, amongst other things, just breaking down kind of how the PA works, how things have changed during the period that Katie's been there over the last 8.5 years, and particularly during COVID as well. And really how PRs can get Katie's attention in order to potentially get coverage for themselves. Any pet hates or pet loves that she loves that PRs do, try and make sure it's not as hate heavy. We've had a lot of them, but as people know that what they do, which is positive as well, but that's always good. Yeah. And anything coming up that Katie might need that could be useful for her as well. So without further ado, yeah, we've got the brilliant Katie Wright, fashion and beauty editor for the Press Association. Just to give a bit of an intro as well, since leaving university in 2005 with a bachelor's degree in psychology, which is awesome. I love that. Katie went on to work at John Lewis CSR department, then became the online reporter for Waitrose before heading to the Press Association as a features writer. And for the last 6 years there as fashion and beauty editor, covering a wide range of topics from fashion, beauty, lifestyle, well-being to food, travel and book reviews, plus conducting celebrity interviews, which is awesome. I love that. And writing in-depth features for print and digital customers. The list goes on. So really also with a vast amount of knowledge from both client and media side over a lot of publication, it's a real big honour to actually have Katie. And I'm going to put a little bit of a cheer going in there as well, just to give that, because it is a bit weird to just...
So professional.
Got all that in there. So it's brilliant. It's interesting. I always start off the interviews by actually just, you know, asking how you went from education to becoming an editor. And yours is particularly interesting because you left with a bachelor's degree in psychology. So I guess it was probably a bit of a...
Yes, a bit of a change. Absolutely no training in journalism whatsoever. I did kind of a career change, well, a pretty big career change. So we can kind of gloss over my early career. But it was when I was in... John Lewis head office. So yeah, in the corporate social responsibility department. That was when I started getting interested in fashion and beauty. And I started blogging in my spare time. So I joined a fashion blog that I just found like an ad online. And then a group of us girls who did that, we ended up starting our own blog. And rather than wanting it to be this, you know, big thing that we grew for the sake of the blog, we just wanted it as like a kind of our portfolio so that we could get writing experience. And it was really useful for that. And then I decided that I wanted to try and get into journalism. And I went down to 4 days a week at John Lewis. And then I was looking for work experience. And one of the girls from the blog told me about Press Association, which I have to point out is now we've been rebranded to PA Media.
Oh, okay.
We must be called PA Media at all times.
Okay, well, I'll change that.
Yeah, although obviously everyone knows, obviously everyone who's been in the industry for a while knew us previously as Press Association. But yeah, and so I started on work experience in the features department, just one day a week. And then that became a freelance role. And then it became 2 days a week. That was when I was doing the role at the Waitrose Chronicle. I was on secondment doing that 3 days a week. And then after a couple of years, about 2.5 years, the fashion and beauty editor role came up and I applied and I got the job.
Wow. Brilliant. Awesome. Excellent. Actually, for the purposes, I guess, of the audience as well, it would be interesting to explain how the Press Association works, what it is, because it's interesting, since I've been in industry, how many people are not aware. A lot of people do know. I don't know if you want me to break it down. It is the national news agency of the UK.
Yes. Yes, the UK's national news agency. Yeah, but it's very different to someone, you know, a fashion and beauty editor who works at a magazine.
Yeah.
So with PA, we've got Newswire, we've got a huge PA Images is a huge photography agency. And then so Features is my team, or the lifestyle team. And we have, it's kind of split into two parts. So there's the Features Wire, which goes out to regional papers around the UK. So there's 80 papers that are subscribed, and then they take our features and our content as they wish to each week. So some things you'll pretty much know are going to go out onto the same pages, or some things are taken on an ad hoc basis. And then on the other side, so we have a digital service. So that was launched a couple of years ago, and that's completely different customers to The Wire. And it's people like Irish Examiner, RTE, TalkTalk, like their lifestyle section of their website. Oh. And so every day there's a number of digital features go out, and they're all done. We get all ideas and we pitch every day for those. So it's completely fresh. It's reacting to what's going on in the media with celebrities. And that's across. So we have and both sections, so digital and The Wire, have five different topics. So we've got fashion and beauty, obviously is mine, travel, food and drink, health and wellbeing, and then life.
Brilliant. So that's,
yeah.
Excellent. And effectively, I mean, even though you mentioned the regionals there, all the national press kind of feed into it as well, don't they? So they take content from you also.
Yes. Well, not so much the features, okay. Although there is a little bit of crossover, but that tends to be more like the showbiz team and the news. Like, yeah, all the big broadsheets and national papers are customers of those different wires.
Yes. Okay. Brilliant. That's good. And I just wanted to point out, because it is very different, as you say, from being a fashion editor of a magazine, because I guess you don't necessarily have an agenda for any particular outlets. Or how does it work? How does it work with you? I mean, is it... I just want to get to the nitty-gritty of your daily life, I guess, how it works, how it's structured, if there is.
Yeah.
I know some don't generally, but...
Yeah. No, there is. It's kind of my days are split between the digital and the print focus. So first thing in the morning, I go online and I'm looking for story ideas, and then I send those over. So I pitch those to my digital editor, and then I get commissioned. So I tend to do just like one digital feature per day, usually fashion and beauty, but there's crossover as well. So like today I'm doing something about Beyonce and the Ivy Park collection.
Oh, wow.
Because that's trending. What else have I done this week? I did about Anne Hathaway's on-screen outfits, because they've got the new film of The Witches.
Yeah.
We do a lot of expert-led features for that kind of thing. So I did another one on preventing loneliness during pregnancy, because obviously in the pandemic it's very different. So that's just kind of a snapshot of the type of features I might be working on in a week. Mm. And then once I file that, and that's they go out pretty much straight away, they get subbed and they go out on the same day. Because it is very reactive. So that's what we call them, reactive features. And then I'll be working on my my print features. So each week I do a main fashion column, beauty column, and then we have what are called topicals. So there's one fashion and one beauty, and they go out. So fashion and beauty go just to The Wire, and then for print, and then the topicals go for Wire and digital as well. So across the two.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So you're tasked with that amount of features for the week, and then that goes out to all of the press for then cover it. And presumably the regionals probably cover practically everything that you put out, really.
Yes. Like the main fashion and beauty pieces in particular, they will go out to, I mean, PRs see it more than I do a lot of the time. There's 80 papers subscribed, and it might be 20, 50, 70. It's like a huge reach.
Mm. And what influences what you cover? Because you mentioned, you know, the conversation obviously trending with Beyonce, but with other subject matters, how do you get to...
Yes. Yeah. So it's quite different. So reactives are literally reacting to what's going on that day, that week. Whereas print features tend to be like seasonal trends. So like at the beginning of the season, spring, summer, and then autumn, winter, I'll do a trend guide for one for beauty, one for fashion. And then it'll be, you know, like a list of the major catwalk trends, catwalk based. And then I'll tend to do each one of those individually for 1 week. So, you know, this season I've done things like leather, the color red as a color trend, 70s, just anything that's catwalk influenced. And then a mixture mixed within that will have seasonal things like Mother's Day, gifting roundups. Obviously, Christmas is huge. Mm. I've just today filed beauty advent calendars. What else? Summer, obviously, you'll do like swimwear. I'll do SPF for beauty. It's things like that. And then other in between those, it'll kind of, it's as trends come up. So things that aren't, you wouldn't necessarily predict that maybe there's something that on Instagram, everyone's using one particular eyeshadow palette and, you know, and then I'll do a piece on palettes or it's kind of, so I'll, some stuff will get planned weeks and weeks in advance.
Yeah.
And then other things I'll slot in as and when they come up.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. And it's interesting as well, actually, because yeah, it's good to understand what does influence you as well. I guess that we're, again, one of the main differences that we have with this conversation rather than with the other editors is that the other editors can be influenced by brands because, you know, obviously to find out what the trends are, they have to see something consistently before they realize actually that is a trend. That isn't just that brand trying to place their product into something to make me cover it. So there's a lot of influence that they can have, but I guess yours, you don't necessarily get that. That's not something for you.
I do a bit, like I'm very much, obviously I got a lot of releases and I'm often filing things away. And you'll notice the same thing coming up. So, what we like to do on the beauty side, for example, would be, new ingredients in beauty where it's being highlighted by different brands. And then once you've got enough, you can do a roundup on like a certain, you know, acid or I had a bunch of stuff obviously this week for pumpkin beauty related to Halloween. So there is an element of that when it's as things pop into my inbox and I'll notice, okay, I've seen a few of those type of boots. I just scheduled a feature on this chunky boot trend with these huge heels, huge soles that I've seen everywhere. And I've seen some on Instagram and then I had a press release and I was like, okay, I'm going to schedule that in.
Wow.
So it's kind of a mix of things. It wouldn't sometimes, and sometimes like research, for example, when you get a press release with research in it, I can sometimes base a feature on that, but we always like to move a story along. We won't just ever do a story where it's like, here's some research. This is what it's found. It might be the research has shown like isolation in pregnancy, for this week, and then we'll get an expert to talk about ways to prevent it.
Yeah.
So it's never just purely based on one press release.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's true. That's good. And what you're saying there about the color red, I'm presuming that color red has come into the area because of Christmas, maybe, and probably people are thinking, just get this year out of the way. Let's just think about Christmas and everyone red's the color. I don't know. I don't know whether that was the reason.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing where because it came from the autumn winter catwalks, which obviously we're in February time.
Yeah.
So, it's the sort of thing you can then peg it to Christmas. You can say like, it's a catwalk trend as we're coming up to Christmas, everyone likes red. So it's kind of positioning things that you saw at the start of the season and then deciding, right, how can I make it relevant to our readers?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. And I'm thinking about it then as well, actually, because again, the difference between this conversation and with the other editors is that generally, obviously dependent on their lead times, how regular the outlets are. I guess for you, I mean, you've mentioned covering Christmas. I guess, have you done Christmas now? I guess because it's daily, you've probably still got Christmas coming up for the...
Oh, yeah. No, we only work generally for The Wire 3 weeks in advance. So for example, I filed advent calendars to go out tomorrow because obviously we're not even into December yet. So it gives the regional papers, they like things to be a few weeks in advance, but not too far so that they've got enough time because we can't do advent calendars at the end of November because they might be 3 weeks ahead.
Sure.
So for the print side of things, it's about that far, but reactive is literally day by day.
Okay, wow. So you've still got all that to come proper in the lead up to Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, advent calendars is pretty much the first Christmas feature I do.
Okay, wow, brilliant. And so, I mean, obviously you've been in the industry now for 8.5 years or just over 8.5 years. There must have been a number of changes that you've experienced during that period, not let alone the very recent period since March with COVID.
Yeah.
Just describe to me what those changes are and how they've sort of changed over the course of that.
I think the biggest change for us is definitely the launch of the digital service. So we used to be, all my features were print, everything was in advance, everything relied on high-res images that could go in print. Whereas now it's so great to be able to be reactive. And before there were features that I just could not do because it would be too late. So if a celebrity wore something on one day and I wanted to and they put it on Instagram, I can't put that. We can't use Instagram posts in print features. So okay. I would have to, yeah. So then, so now with reactives, I can say, look, Kim Kardashian's worn this item. It's in the shops. Here's five places where you can buy it. Whereas before, and because brands are reacting faster as well to trends. So it's, you don't have to wait 6 months to be able to do those kind of features.
Mm, yeah. So why was it that you couldn't use Instagram in print? Was that just because of the speed at which things change or?
Well, it's more to do with, it's not high resolution enough.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, this is one thing I would always say to PRs is that for print, we have to have high resolution images. It's really important. They have to be 300 DPI generally, or 1000 pixels or 1 meg. And if we don't, if it's not high res enough, it can't go in print because it will look pixelated on the page.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Hence the popularity of PR shots 20 years ago is actually getting that content over to editors in that format. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's why I find it so valuable, because I know everything will be high res.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. That's brilliant. So I guess, I mean, you've mentioned the changes there since you've started at the PA Media now. Yeah. What about since COVID? How have things changed since that's all come about?
Yeah. So there's one thing which actually is not so much COVID related, but we now just have a policy of using any quotes that we use have to be exclusive. And so this is one thing where it's also really useful for PRs to know that, any like expert quotes or celebrity interviews, we won't use quotes if they've been used before. So sending me a release with it might be great expert quotes on a beauty trend or a fashion trend, we have to have them exclusive, like written that day. Wow. For reactives. So yeah, sometimes in the morning I'll decide on a reactive and I'll do response source to get quotes, but they have to be exclusive to us. And that's why also if any brands have celebrities as like ambassadors or any interview time, that's always like really useful for us, and we're always happy to hear of any celebrities.
Okay, brilliant. And I'm guessing are you working from home now, or are you still going into the PA every now and again?
Yes, no, we're all working from home. The office is open. People are able to go if they want to. And there were plans to go back in, but then when the new restrictions came in, it was decided that we won't be for the foreseeable future.
Wow. So how is that? Does that work for you?
Do you know what? We actually, so we moved from our office in Victoria to Paddington a year or so ago. And after that, our team, most of us were working from home a couple of days a week anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, so for us, there was no need to get all laptops or change any technology or monitors or anything, because we were already set up for it. So I think for us, it was an easier transition than for a lot of companies where you were suddenly scrabbling around to get everyone set up.
Okay, wow.
So yeah, so it's not been that different to us. We do catch-ups every morning on Zoom, or Microsoft Teams is what we use, and we do conference once a week.
Yeah,
okay. So yeah, I mean, obviously I'm missing my colleagues like everyone, but...
Yeah.
What can
you do? No, well, that's the thing. I think the feedback I've received is actually they kind of miss the buzz of just, well, not just the general buzz, but actually just even being able to ask incidental questions that don't really amount to much, that you don't feel you don't feel comfortable enough to put it over WhatsApp for a team, because it's just one of those incidental things you would have normally thought and just got some clarity on.
Anyway. Yeah, when you just want to bounce an idea off someone.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And most of all, I miss strong Wi-Fi.
Okay.
When I did go into the office on one day, and editing pictures that we have to do ourselves took seconds as opposed to minutes with my very slow at home Wi-Fi. So that's the one thing I'm really looking forward to getting back to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the feedback I've had on a few occasions as well. Actually, if you're trying to download something, sometimes you have to wait until, you know, the kids have gone to bed or something, because otherwise it's just an absolute night. It takes like an hour.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that's all the things. So how would, I mean, you know, you mentioned there, and this is not to get a lovely, brilliant plug about PR shots and press area, but how reliant are you on PR shots? I mean, is it like a general part of your day that you kind of look at?
Oh yeah, for my Fashion Wire column and my topical, it's the first thing I go to. Like, if God forbid PR shots closed down overnight, I would be devastated.
Yeah.
And because obviously I can go to the brands, but it would take so much longer to have to go individually and email all these people to get even just 10 images as opposed to, I will literally go, like I said, use it like the search function, and I would get the majority of my images from there. And then it's only if I can't get all of them, I'll then go to brands separately. Or if it is very niche trend where I'll then go and like I've seen a release or whatever.
Brilliant. And so then, are there any tips that you could give as to how a PR can get your attention in order to get you to cover their story, as it were?
Yeah. I mean, I know PRs love to use the phone. I know you have to do your calls and call around. Honestly, most journalists are just too busy to pick up your phone. Like, because especially with our setup now, first thing in the morning, I'm literally on deadline until I've filed my reactive piece. And then after that, most days of the week, I'm on deadline again. So the odds are I won't be able to pick up my phone. The easiest thing is to just send me a nice, concise email with all the salient information. And if it is of use, I will get back to you. If it's immediately useful, but also I will file away things that I'm going to use in future. So it doesn't necessarily mean I can't ever use it.
Yeah.
It's just, one really good email is perfect.
Brilliant. Okay. So actually that brings me on to, because what I generally ask the editors as well is could you give me like three pet hates and three pet loves that you have regarding PRs? And I guess you've mentioned the first two there. So concise, I guess, emails is probably a pet love, and probably a pet hate is people calling, but I won't put words in your mouth. So
emails always preferred. I guess I would say, I don't really mind about the time when they're sent, because yeah, it might be useful, it might not. I would say sooner rather than later is better. So I will get emails about awareness days the day before, or even on the day. And it's useless because the day has been and gone. And if we were going to cover it, we would have done it the day before at the very latest. So if in doubt, send it even like a month before or weeks before is better. Then I know it's coming up.
Yeah.
And then you can send a reminder that week.
Yeah.
And also put the amount of emails I've seen where they mention an awareness day and they don't put the date, which I just find it's like, if I have to then Google to find when it is, that could be the few seconds that I don't have that day. That's going to make the difference of whether or not whether I even read the rest of the email.
Yeah.
So do that. And also make sure try. I know it's not always possible to contact the right editor. So the one thing that sort of stands in my mind as getting sort of weird emails I get is about pets, like pet food. It's always, there's a lot of animal related stuff that's just not my topic at all. So yeah, there is a bit of crossover. But I'm generally, if it's not fashion or beauty, it's pretty much not me.
Yeah.
And like pets, we kind of don't do that. We do animal stuff related to travel because it does really well. But please no more pet pet releases. literally a pet hate. And what else do I like?
Literally, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And the other thing is, one high-res image is good if it's one product where you're highlighting something like here are these boots that are selling out. But too many high-res, just huge emails do clog up. And send low res, and then I can always request high res later.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, or send a link to Dropbox is great. We transfers are good, but they expire.
Yeah.
And many times I will come back to an email, I want those images, and the WeTransfer is gone. And sometimes I will just use something else that's readily available.
Yeah.
So I would say Dropbox is great because then it doesn't expire.
Yeah, or PR shots, obviously.
Or PR shots, of course, yes.
But that's interesting as well. And actually, when you talk about the emails as well, about putting lots of high res, we've had a number of people, I think it was Paula Moore from Future Publishing. Yeah, she's brilliant. We had an interview with both her and Julie Player. It was just brilliant. And I was gutted because they're two, you know, really well-respected editors in the industry. And we're going to do it at the same time. I thought we've missed the trick here, but actually them together was just brilliant anyway. But that's just going back there. But what she mentioned as well, she send images, but actually what she wants the images to be is actually in the main body of the email as well, because then she can therefore see it and not have to do as much work before downloading it, etc.
Yes, that's true. Like, yeah, if you can embed low res within it, then I'll see straight away, as opposed to having to go through and click on 10 different icons that are all attachments. It's true.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And another thing, actually, you mentioned awareness days, and obviously it's pointless doing it on the same day and leaving the day out. I remember my days at PR Newswire, where the suggestion was, if you send something out a week before the day, or 2 weeks, or even like a month before on the day, that would be like 4 weeks before, for example. Does that matter, or is it as long as it's before the awareness day for you?
Yeah, like, honestly, the sooner the better, because often if I am covering an awareness day, like, I don't know if other journalists have said this, but I use my emails to Google, I will search. If I'm doing, you know, like I said, like a pumpkin beauty feature, I'll just put the word pumpkin into my emails and see. And there could be, it could be going back months or sometimes years if it's a roundup of existing products, or if it's a trend on, yeah, loungewear. I did loungewear this week, and so I just put loungewear into my emails. So if you, so make sure it's in the subject line.
Yeah.
So that it makes it much more easily searchable for us.
Yeah, okay. And I'm guessing you're doing loungewear because obviously there's a bit more lockdown again, I guess, expected.
Yeah, it used to be a niche thing, loungewear. And now obviously it's literally everyone's daily uniform. So
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, that was the thing as well. In fact, what Julie Player was saying during an interview as well before is that during COVID, because a lot of the PRs were put on furlough as well, she ended up having to do her own stuff and actually even having her own loungewear in her own house. So I guess, did you experience that during COVID? Was there like a lot less content for you to cover? And was there a kind of concern, actually, how am I going to cover
it? Do you know what? I think the concern will be in some ways next season, because Fashion Week happened as normal in February, whereas in September and in the summer, it was there won't be as many images and there won't be as many catwalk trends. So I think there's still a bit of a lag. So at the moment, I'm just working through all of those trends.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's been, we have to be more reactive and look at kind of lifestyle trends and what and how people are reacting themselves to the pandemic and what they're wearing. So you're getting kind of these micro trends coming out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've done a lot, especially with our reactives, anything that's pandemic related. So lots of things about, like, we do a lot of things like emotional stages of, so emotional stages of going back into lockdown, emotional stages of going back to the office, and like signs that you're not ready to go back to the office, like things like that, that are very topical that everyone's kind of thinking about, do really well.
Yeah. And I guess you can draw on your psychology bachelor's degree for that to a certain degree. I guess that's probably gives you some little bit of a, oh yeah, it was useful.
Yeah. Do you know what? In some ways I wish we did more psychology type features. Like it kind of does thread into it a little bit.
Did you want to become a psychologist? Was that the dream? And then you suddenly
I didn't really know. It was that, I remember that the careers advisor at school said, do something you like at university. And I liked psychology. It was probably my favorite subject at A-level. So I was like, okay, I'll just do that just to kind of get a degree. I really had no idea. I kind of wish someone had said, think about what you want to do.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so no, I really had no idea about journalism until much later. Through blogging and fashion. I remember I used to just look at all the catwalk images on style.com and became quite obsessive about doing it every season, and I kind of found myself like writing reviews in my head.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing where I was like, "Oh, I really like the way that they write and describing, taking someone that's something that's so visual and describing it in words was what really kind of appealed."
Yeah Okay, brilliant. Well, that's, you know, it's an interesting, but I mean, again, actually coming back with your experience, it will be something I guess you can use for the future anyway, so that's always good. Anyway, just understanding, so you've got, so with your team, do you actually have a team? I mean, you said you report to the main editor. Do you have anybody below you or on the side of you that that helps with your content?
Yeah, it's quite, it's sort of quite siloed in a way. So there are editors for each of our five topics. And then we have a couple of digital writers who work across them all. And Prudence Wade, she actually does one fashion or beauty column each month. When I was on sabbatical, like, she was covering my role.
Okay.
So there's a bit of crossover there, and she'll do quite a lot of fashion beauty reactives as well. So that's really great. Like, we chat a lot about features. But apart from that, it is quite, we all have our individual topics that we work on.
Yes. I mean, how often do you cover things that are really of interest to you, I guess? Do you, I guess there's got to be some level of interest from you personally.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, it's definitely my favorite thing to write about, like, of all the topics. I mean, about I do some travel. We used to do travel trips, and like that was always really enjoyable. They're really nice features to write because it's kind of the most like creative writing when you're describing a place, and that's great. But I have sort of favorite topics within it. So like, I love writing about, I really like doing like the catwalk trend pieces at the beginning of the season. And I love writing about fragrance for beauty. That's just like one of my particular kind of things that I enjoy.
Okay. Wow.
But yeah, but everything, there's never a topic where I'm like, oh God, do I have to worry about this? It's just always, I genuinely really enjoy my job.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's lovely. Yeah. I love that. So that's brilliant. And I'm guessing with the changes of everything that's going around, I don't know whether it works necessarily the same at PA Media, but with regards to like kind of, do you get schmoozed or are there perks that you can get? Obviously, I guess with travel, you have to have the hotels provided for you because there's no point in you paying, etc. What's the best way for brands now to schmooze you, considering obviously there's a lot of stuff which is taken out of their control, which they can't now do?
Yeah, like I used to do lots of breakfast meetings, which was like a really good way that at the beginning of the day, not even in my work time, would just go, and especially with like beauty products, they tell me about the new ranges or fashion, bring me, you know, an iPad with a lookbook and talk me through what's going on, or tell me about celebrity opportunities, interview opportunities. It's one of the things I miss. It is really nice having, you know, friendly relationships with PRs. So now I'm doing like a few Zoom catch-ups, which is nice. Like I'm doing one, like a little lunch one tomorrow. With a PR. And there are quite a lot of beauty events and things, like they'll be doing like a yoga class online. But it's one of those things that's kind of unfortunate because I have my reactive deadline in the morning. It's difficult. They're often either in the morning or in the afternoon when I have my deadlines. Yes. So I find it harder to be able to go to, because I know obviously they're scheduling it so that it's not outside of work time, but it was actually a lot easier for me when I could go to evening events.
Yes. Okay.
Like breakfast or evening events, because then it was like, get them done, get my all my deadlines done, get my work done. And then it worked around that. So yeah, it's one of those things that, I can schedule in Zooms every now and again, but around deadlines.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have a daily deadline, even though it's not daily? And so I guess it's monthly, weekly for
yeah, regions. So for reactives, it's just as soon as possible. So some you'll just bash out in a couple of hours. Other ones you'll have to wait for expert comments to come in. So then you'll file in the afternoon. And then I have my fashion deadline on Wednesday, beauty on Thursday, and then like my topicals at the end of the week.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So so generally, I imagine PRs want to know like when's the best time to contact. Monday and Tuesday afternoons are when I don't have my print deadlines. So there, I'll be much more likely to get through all my emails at the end of Monday and Tuesday than I would on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday when I've been filing.
Okay, brilliant. And I mean, you talked about the digital experiences there, I guess, which a lot of PRs have to provide now in order to at least get, you know, some press days sorted. How are you finding those? Are you finding them? Are there any that have stood out that you kind of think, actually, that was a really good one? Or
there was a press day yesterday that Trace Publicity, they did their spring summer press day. And instead of having it scheduled Zoom sessions, they just hosted everything on a website and they had a login. And then you just went in and looked at whatever videos you wanted to. And that was really useful because then you could just do it any time you wanted. They just had it hosted for two full days.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they, after I'd logged in, they sent, I imagine it was just like an automatic follow-up email with links to all the lookbooks and a summary of all the brands. And that was really useful because there are times when I'll sign up to a Zoom and then it'll get to the day and something's cropped up and I just can't make it. And then it's too stressful. I'll be on it, but then I'll still have to be filing and then I'm not really concentrating, you know? So it's one of those things that obviously when you were there in person at an event, it was great because you were just doing that.
Yeah.
You would never have your laptop filing a feature at the same time, but that kind of just ends up happening with Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Well, that's just the nature of the day as well. And I guess in the nature of what you do, you're bombarded with stuff all the time. So it's going to kind of take you out. So I guess the trick there is to actually, even if you're doing a Zoom, provide a recording for those that weren't able to attend.
Yes, that's hugely useful. Yes, yeah. I would say that. Like, don't make it, if it has to be at a certain time, fine. Then yes, have a recording so that people can go to it later.
Brilliant. Okay, excellent. Okay. And are there any kind of PR attempts or, you know, sort of tricks that have really stood out in your mind where you just thought, actually, that was amazing, I'm definitely covering that because of the way that they did this? Is there any kind of that spring to mind?
The main thing for us is if you can offer a celebrity interview with exclusive quotes or exclusive quotes, then that's the number one thing that, yes, we will cover this. And in fact, when we get a celebrity interview, we tend to do two pieces out of it.
Okay.
So because you know, it might be linked to one thing. So for example, I got offered one of the Strictly dancers today, and it's related to a baby food thing. It was a parenting thing. And I have gone back and said, can I do a beauty spin-off piece as well? Because they'll get a credit on it. And we get two pieces of content out of it.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing, that if there's a celebrity connected to it, like, and they have to be, the celebrities tend, Strictly is a very good kind of touch point. And also, what else? It's people that have been on, it's a lot of sort of BBC type celebrities. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're quite mainstream. The wider audience, because it tends to be older, you can't do too many bloggers and okay. YouTube stars, because they won't tend to know who they are, unless yeah. they are some of, you know, the huge, like Zoella or somebody who's kind of broken through.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, if they've been on Strictly, that we will definitely
oh wow
interview them.
That's brilliant. Okay. And how does that interview take place? Is it, do you actually speak with them, or is it like all a...
Yeah. I mean, in the olden days, it would be pre-pandemic times, it would be going to a junket or, you know, going to actually interview people in person. But a lot of it is done over the phone. And like I just did the Hairy Bikers yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I also do food features like once a month. So yeah, everything's Zoom or phone at the moment.
And are there any interviews that you've had where you're just like, oh my God, starstruck, this is amazing, can't believe I'm doing this?
Oh yeah, so I did Kylie Minogue.
Oh wow, okay, brilliant.
Yeah, a couple of years ago for Specsavers.
Okay.
Wow. And that was amazing, because some, especially when it's someone so famous, and like, I loved her since I was like literally five years old.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very managed. There's loads of PRs and publicists, you know, but with that, it was just me and her sat in like the hotel suite having a chat. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. That I was very starstruck.
So you're actually there in person. Yeah. That's even better. I thought it was just over the phone. That's awesome. Wow.
No. Yeah. I actually got to meet her. I took a photo and everything. Oh, it was amazing.
Selfies put straight on Instagram. Hi guys, my new best friend. Is there anything that any of the our clients or audience could actually provide to you that you're looking for currently at the moment?
Yeah. So we're very much getting into Christmas now. So I'm going to be doing Christmas beauty gifting, like female focused. I'll be doing grooming gifts. I'm going to be doing fashion gifting, which will be a roundup of like men's and women's. In particular, I do think it's one of the things like I should do more of is like menswear.
Okay.
Because it's just, you know, most fashion weeks, but obviously the men's week is focused on women's wear. And so we tend to do those as the main trends, but, men's features, like I did one on, suit mistakes that people make.
Okay.
And I had a couple of experts talking about, you know, getting the sizing wrong or lengths or, buttons and all kinds of things. So yeah, if people can offer kind of interesting angles like that, that's really good.
Okay.
And then the red color trend, fashion trend that I mentioned, that's coming up.
Okay.
And also gold, which I'm doing for Christmas. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit weird because our features don't have to be confirmed until the schedule goes out the week before. So we do chop and change a little bit. And this time of year, I would normally be doing like party season makeup, desk to dance floor type features. But because all the Christmas parties are not happening, I think we are going to have to work around it a bit.
Yeah.
So I'll just kind of have to see nearer the time. But I think it will be nice to do some bright and sparkly features and say, look, even if you're just with your family at home, it's nice to get dressed up.
Yeah.
So kind of party and a bit of glitzy fashion.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. And well, if you're talking about parties as well, I mean, it's one of the editors I was speaking with, I've not interviewed yet, but especially for like the press kind of content, what they've realized is actually with the images, they do really like the COVID, I guess, restrictions to be observed during the images, obviously not necessarily with the masks, etc. But I'm thinking in a case of parties, for example, I guess even the distancing. So, I mean, is that something that you're kind of conscious of as well?
Do you know what? I hadn't even thought of that. I think it wouldn't really be, because I think people are aware that photos were taken pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
I might not use, we use like iStock as well. And I maybe just wouldn't use one with a massive group of 20 people at a party.
All hugging each other. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. But actually one thing that I like to point out is that all of my print features have to have model shots, like nice lifestyle shots as well as cutouts.
Yes.
We do want a mix of the both, but there's every so often I'll struggle with something like jewelry or sunglasses,
okay,
because it's harder to get good model shots. And I have noticed some brands, I think probably because of the pandemic, that they don't have as many nice model shots,
yes,
or lifestyle shots.
Okay.
So so sometimes that will decide whether or not I feature something, is if you've got then really good model shots, and then we'll go with that instead.
Okay. Yeah. That's the feedback that's been echoed again by Paula and Julie on a number of occasions as well. But actually, yeah, with the model shots, we noticed actually during COVID that there was so many more in situ model shots that were being downloaded, I guess, because
editors
can get their images. But then also, obviously, the feedback that we got from a lot of editors was, look, we need this kind of stuff. But again, because the PRs are furloughed, they couldn't even provide it as well. So it was a big,
yeah,
like, oh my,
yeah,
God.
It's difficult. I mean, yeah, I think there has been, it's not as bad as it was at the very beginning of lockdown.
No, yeah, totally. Yeah. No, exactly. That's right. Yeah. And you mentioned gold there as well. I mean, is that the new colour, or is that always coming in for Christmas? Because it does seem like red and gold is like a big thing.
Yeah, there's certain things like metallics are always going to be around on the autumn winter catwalks one way or another, because designers are always conscious of it coming up to the like party season. But it seems like gold was more than silver or rose gold or anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big catwalk trend.
Okay, excellent. And again, talking about trends, I considering the circumstances, either in the media industry or in fashion or both, what trends do you see that will be continuing moving forward?
Yeah, I think loungewear is going to continue to be massive. There were even rumors I saw a release about like a loungewear shortage, because people were stocking up. And I think it's going to become, there are going to be trends within loungewear. So instead of everything, because you know, everything was quite beige for a while and kind of gray, but I think it's going to become a bit more diverse. And also the Zoom dressing from the waist up.
Yes. Okay.
The way people want, like, I did a piece on the big collar trend, because there's loads of collars, and I think people do want anything that's a bit interesting around the neckline.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Harry Hill's probably completely on trend at the moment.
Yes.
No, you're right. The amount of pieces I saw, because exactly, I mean, it's exactly the same thing. You could look smart or anything, but everyone wears tracksuit bottoms now. And it's just
even Anna Winter is wearing tracksuit bottoms. It's okay, guys. You're allowed.
No, I mean, I do still love my skinny jeans, and my son tells me I'm, you know, well out of date, dad. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still don't want to sit around the house in them anyway, because it's so much more comfortable. And
Do you know what? I actually did a piece on whether skinny jeans would die because of the pandemic. But because sales of like mom jeans and baggy jeans are up. But when I asked retailers, and when you talk to them, skinny jeans still sell really well.
Oh, really? Okay. So
yeah, they still outsell other styles.
That's awesome. So I can go straight back to my son and tell him that. I say,
and tell him, yes,
I'm still on trend. It's just not confident with your 15-year-old mates. That's it, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Well, yeah. Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you, Katie. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been really nice.
It's been brilliant. Yeah, no, thank you. And if you need anything, just let us know, obviously.
I will holler.
But yeah, thank you very much for your time, right. And all the
thanks
best. And Merry Christmas and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So if you like that discussion and you'd like to be alerted of future interviews with lifestyle editors, just make sure that you hit that subscribe button. And if you liked it and want to receive a breakdown of tips from all of the editors included within this series and many more, and be entered into a prize draw to win a £50 Amazon voucher, please leave a review within the Apple Podcast app, take a screenshot and send it to us at info@prshots.com and you'll be entered. This is brought to you by me, Nick Osborne, with us, Press Area and PR Shots, experts in helping PRs and brands gain coverage.